Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is nutrition, and we're going to discuss five things I wish I knew. Oh, geez, I can't even read the title correct. Five things I wish people knew about food. So I'm trying to multitask mentally and it didn't work. But I wanted to discuss kind of today just some things that I thought would be helpful for people. If they understood these things about nutrition, it would solve a lot of concerns and worries, and maybe would make kind of like their daily eating habits easier on them mentally, emotionally, and just kind of better understanding of how like food interacts with us and how we can use it to our benefit. So let's go through these, and then if there's any questions or anybody wants any kind of expanded comments or expanded information, always feel free to email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and we can maybe make an entire podcast about just, you know, one of the topics rather than kind of including it all just in five here. So the first one we have is that types of foods aren't as important as you think. So what this means is whether you eat brown rice or white rice, you know, white bread or wheat bread, whether something's organic or not, that stuff doesn't matter as much as people often think it does. And often they will control this element, but they forget to control a bunch of other elements. Not even to actually forget, they just don't want to put in the work or the effort to do so. They just skip the other elements of healthy eating. So a healthy diet, if we look at kind of the top kind of five components, there's really like a top four, then a catch-all is number five. But the number one component for any diet is calories. If you under-eat the calories that you need for daily maintenance, you will lose weight, regardless of what those calories are. So if my body uses 2,000 calories a day to stay the way it is, and I only eat 1,500 calories, I will lose weight. Even if the 1,500 calories are from absolute crap food like ice cream and candy and soda. So you would still lose weight. Now, you'd lose a lot of muscle and you wouldn't feel good and you'd feel like crap and there's a lot of negatives to it, but the scale would go down. Whereas, if you increase your calories and you eat above your maintenance level, so if your body needs 2,000 calories to stay the way it is and you eat 3,000 calories every day, it doesn't matter how healthy a food you eat, whether it's organic or not, or whatever the hell else kind of healthy monikers or kind of categories of foods there are, is you would still gain weight. Now, if you're doing resistance training and you want to build muscle, this is a benefit. You do want to gain size and gain weight. But if somebody's trying to do fat loss and they picked all of this healthy food, so organic everything, you know, like low fat, low sugar, whatever taste free bullshit there is, and they tried to eat super duper clean foods, but they didn't control calories and they were actually still eating too many calories compared to their maintenance level, then they will still gain body fat, or they will definitely not be able to lose body fat no matter how clean of food they end up eating. So the types of foods that you eat don't matter compared to calories. However, often when people try to clean up the types of foods they eat, they'll coincidentally, unintentionally, they'll reduce their calorie intake, and therefore they'll get weight loss. So they think that cleaning up the food is what helped. No, it was the fact you created a caloric deficit compared to what you'd been doing before. It did not have to do with the type of food, it had to do with the calorie change. So understanding this is extremely helpful, because when somebody has presented options with them in life and they're like, okay, you know, I think brown rice is best, but I went to a restaurant and all they have is white rice. Fine, eat the white rice. Who gives a shit? So if you don't like brown rice because it tastes like crap, which it does, and you know that, like, you think that that's the healthy thing that you should eat, but you're like, I don't want to eat that because it's horrible. And then you mentally feel bad all the time when you break away from eating the horrible, crappy food that you think is healthy and you think it's the only requirement, like the only thing to do, and you feel bad, you feel bad, you feel bad. So you mentally break down your diet, then you just kind of quit and eat whatever you want. Recognizing that it doesn't matter the quality of the food will let you have more mental leeway to realize that whether you had, you know, white potato, sweet potato, whether you had, you know, brown rice, white rice, any of that stuff, it's not going to matter much. Whether it was rice, potatoes, pasta, breads, bagels, whatever, wraps. If it's carbs, it's carbs. If it's fats, it's fats. If it's proteins, it's proteins. So carbs, fats, and proteins do different things in our body. So it does matter of the macronutrients, carbs, fat, and protein, which we're eating. But what type of fat doesn't matter as much as people think? What type of carbohydrates doesn't matter as much as people think? And what type of protein doesn't matter as much as people think? So that's something that can be very helpful to understand. And we do have podcast number 41 titled Diet Right, What Matters Most, where we discuss the top components of a diet and their order of their significance and why they're important. So you can listen to that podcast for more information. But in general, it would be helpful for people to recognize that the types of foods they eat aren't as important as they think. If you're supposed to have a carb, just have whatever carb is available. If you're supposed to have a fat, eat whatever fat is available. If you're supposed to have a protein, eat whatever protein is available. Stop beating yourself up. Stop worrying about the little important, like the unimportant things, the little details. Get the big stuff right first, okay? So the second thing we have is I wish people would understand more about the digestion rates of their foods, and this would help them better understand meal timing and how to fuel themselves correctly to feel the way that they want to feel. So an example of this is someone who was trying to do weight loss would show up to like a boot camp class having drank some kind of stupid ass shake full of a bunch of different types of fats and seeds and shit that they were having like 20 minutes before the workout. Then they wondered why they had no energy. They felt horrible and they thought it was because of their diet overall. Like, oh, diets just don't work for me, or, oh, I can never lose weight. Oh, I never feel good when I eat healthy. It's because you eat a bunch of fat that takes hours to digest, and then you try to be active 20 minutes later. Your body can't process the food, okay, and make the body work for exercise. Plus, if the food isn't processed yet, you don't have any fuel. You don't have any energy for the workout. So if I put in a fuel in my body that takes 5 hours to be useful, but then I try to be active in 20 minutes, of course I'm going to feel like shit. So to me, I get frustrated with this stuff because the information is available everywhere. But people don't take the time to learn it. So therefore, they have bad experiences based on incorrect information and bad actions. And then they come up with these bullshit, special, I'm special, woe is me kind of like mindsets. And then they feel like kind of defeated and they're overweight for the rest of their life and they're unhappy. And it's like, damn it, if you would just take 20 minutes and learn this stuff, you wouldn't have to live the next 20 years of your life unhappy. And it's pure laziness. The information is there. Oh, it just gets me fired up. I don't understand it. So, but that is something that would be helpful for people to know. Is there are carbohydrates, so which is like, you know, like sugars and candies, liquid sugars like soda and sweet tea. Then there's kind of slower digesting healthy, quote unquote, carbohydrates like potatoes, pasta, rice, beans, you know, vegetables, stuff like that. So there are different types of digestion rates for different carbohydrates. Then there are different type of digestion rates for different types of fats. And the same is true of protein. So in podcast 21, we talk about carbohydrates, which are the fast ones, which are the kind of slower carbohydrates. Then in podcast 29, we discuss the digestion rates of fats. And in podcast number 216, we discuss the digestion rates of proteins. So like I said, the information is there. And if people better understood the digestion rates of foods, they would better know what type of fuel to put in their body based on what activity they were expecting from the body. So if I want my body to perform now, I have to put in sugars. And that doesn't mean I'm going to be unhealthy. In no freaking way does that mean I'll get fat because I'm just ingesting calories that I now plan to use. So if I put gasoline in my car, I don't have to worry about my car being overfilled. I only put in the amount I need. I drive where I drive. It burns up. It's done. So if I put sugar in my body and then I burn up those calories, I have no need to worry about gaining body fat. I have no need to worry about some unhealthy bullshit kind of mindset of, oh, you're going to get cancer. No, you dumbass. You're not going to get cancer just because you had some sugar. Now, I don't mean to be totally jerk because there's actually people who have asked me that. But so maybe I need to pull back on that. But the reason why I get aggressive is because there's if you look at the data, if you look at the research, if you search more than just one individual resource, you will learn that things like that, like sugar causes cancer, stupid. So somebody might say that, but go read and learn more. So even the stuff I tell you guys, I would never, ever, ever, ever be offended if someone were to tell me, oh, I heard this on a podcast and I went and read more articles just to make sure it was true. I'd be like, that's freaking awesome. Good for you. So please, go, like, fact check anything you want. It'll help with your understanding. It'll help with your learning process. It'll help solidify the information being more permanent in your memory. So in no way would I ever care or be offended if somebody double-checked anything I said. I hope you do. So everything I present is stuff that's, you know, I've either learned in my master's in nutrition, I have a bachelor's degree in health and phys ed, which had very little nutrition stuff, but it did have some. Also, I have an ACSM personal training certification, which had some nutritional information. And then I've also just worked with 2,000 clients, been doing this for 18 years. I've helped people get aesthetic, like pro cards in aesthetic sports, like bikini, figure, fitness, that kind of stuff. I've helped people do strength competitions to elite levels, elite totals, national records, stuff like that. I've helped D1 college sports. I've helped Olympians. I've helped people get the CrossFit games. I mean, I've had over 2,000 clients. I taught at the university level. This is all I've ever done. I read books all the time. So I have fact-checked myself. I just constantly read, and I constantly experiment and try things with clients in my own life. So everything I'm telling you is based off of 18 years of experience. And I believe it to be good information, which is why I share it. But at the same time, as I would hope that, you know, people would fact check this stuff and maybe back it up if they want to. In no way is that a bad thing. It's always good to kind of double check information. It's always good to make sure a fact is a fact before you believe it to be a fact. Okay. So that is something, though, like digestion rates, that can help a lot with people, is if they understand digestion rates, they'll better understand meal timing, like when they should have their meals, how far apart, how close together, and just have a better regulation of how they feel throughout the day. So you'll have better energy, you'll have better mood, better performance. I mean, it can just improve so, so, so much about how you feel throughout the day. So I work with clients all the time and friends and family and stuff where people go all day without eating, then they wonder why they're in a shitty, bitchy mood and they have a headache at the end of the day. And it's like, what do you expect? You tried to run a system, you tried to run a machine with no fuel. It's not going to feel good. So simply just eating better throughout the day can help you just become such a better person. It helps so much with character and having more kind of strength against bad moods, strength against anger, strength against anxiety, even depression. I mean, food is therapy. It can absolutely help in all of these areas. So I wish people knew more about that, on how much of an influence food could have on them and improve their life, the quality of their life, not only in physical health, but in mental and emotional health. The third thing I wish people knew was the cleaner you eat, the more you can eat. So if you get rid of kind of pre-processed kind of shitty foods, you can actually eat quite a bit. So I have a quote I always tell people is, you can't get fat from chicken and rice. So if you eat like a bodybuilder, if you were to eat, like, say, jasmine rice, which I love because I think it tastes well, and it's a white rice. So I eat jasmine rice a lot, and I eat it with steak or chicken all the time. And you cannot get fat off chicken and rice, meaning that for you to eat too many calories of chicken and rice, you'd probably get sick, vomit, and throw up because it would just be so much food. And the digestion rate of chicken and rice is kind of like a sweet spot of like 3 to 4 hours kind of thing, where it makes you feel full at the meal you're having. And then in 3 to 4 hours, you're hungry again. So you get to eat another meal. And that helps you just kind of throughout the day have 3, 4, 5 meals, which really helps you fuel the system of your body. So it's a food that works really well. So I've experimented in my past with like carbohydrate digestion rates, for example, and the resulting type of energy or mood or feel that I would have from them. So I did an 8-week diet where I had just oats as my carbohydrate source. I did an 8-week diet where I had just sweet potato as my carb source. And then I did an 8-week diet where I had just white rice as my carb source, jasmine rice. And I felt like absolute crap on the oat diet. So even though I controlled calories and everything was the same amongst these diets, oats, I never felt like I had really good energy from. So they just kind of left me kind of tired and lethargic, didn't really feel good throughout the day. I never really felt like I was fully fed or fully energized. When I switched to sweet potato, I felt too full all day. And I was having to like force feed myself all the time to get my calorie requirement in, to making sure the diets were the same calorically wise. So that was a food that didn't match well for me. I felt bloated, felt full, just never kind of felt happy with that. So then when I switched to jasmine rice, I had tons of energy, felt really good, and I found out that that was the best carb source for me. So it turned out that you can eat different carbs, different fats, different proteins, and respond and feel differently to them. And if you find ones that are quote-unquote like good, healthy, clean ones. So, for example, you might feel good eating Swedish fish, but that's probably not the best source of carbohydrates. So, not the best source of energy. So, if you find decent kind of quality of food, and you make that as your main food throughout the day, it's very, very, very rare that you would ever be able to overeat healthy food. So if you think of chicken and rice, a big heaping bowl or plate of chicken and rice might be, say, like 400, 500 calories. But if you were to add this kind of sauce, that kind of sauce, you know, then all of a sudden you're drinking sweet tea, that meal might all of a sudden be 1,000 calories. Whereas if you got rid of the kind of crappy stuff, okay, the quote-unquote bad foods, the more kind of sugary-based, kind of additional, like, additive-type things, and you just get back to the bare-bone basics of the foods, people would be surprised how much they can eat. So one of the biggest complaints I actually get when I send people diets for fat loss is that they can't eat all of the food, meaning I'm trying to get them to eat more frequently, and I'm trying to get them to eat cleaner foods, and especially throughout the day, so that way they don't overeat at night. And all the time people say, man, you know, I'm doing well, energy feels great, but I'm having a hard time eating all this. Do I really need to eat all this food? I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And when they do, they start losing weight. They feel great, great moods. Everything goes well when they take the time to eat well. Okay. So the fourth thing we have is eating something is always better than eating nothing. So in podcast number 390, we talk about proper nutrition for sedentary workers. Meaning, if somebody isn't very active, do they still need to eat? And if so, how much and what amounts and what types? So we kind of talk about that in podcast 390. And one of the things we cover is that if you eat something, you provide some fuel for your body, it'll burn that fuel off, and then it'll provide a little bit of its own via body fat. Whereas if you skip meals, the body says, holy crap, we're not getting any energy coming in. So this body fat that we have, this stored energy, which is what body fat is, this stored energy is extremely important because this person isn't eating in a consistent way. So we can't let some of this stored energy go because what happens if they don't eat? So it prioritizes body fat and it makes it harder and harder for you to get rid of body fat. So whereas if you eat something, even if it's only a little bit, that eases the body's worry that you're not going to feed it. And it doesn't prioritize body fat as much. It's more willing to let some of it be burned off. So it's always, always, always better to eat something rather than nothing. Whether this is for building muscle, whether this is for peak aesthetics, whether it's for peak performance, whether it's for fat loss. Eating something, even if all you have is a slice of pizza or a Snickers available, that's always better than skipping the meal and making your body feel stressed and then make it prioritize the need for body fat, which makes it harder and harder to get rid of over time. So listen to podcast 390 and that'll discuss more of why eating something, even if it's quote unquote bad food, is always better than skipping a meal. Always. Okay? The last thing we have is that food doesn't solve emotional problems. If you're feeling lonely, ice cream does not give you companionship. If you're feeling kind of stressed in life and there's a lot of craziness going on around you, eating nothing, creating structure, creating control by disordered eating like anorexia and bulimia, eating nothing, does not solve those external problems. So in podcast 510, I did a podcast with Meredith, my fiance, and we discussed our histories of disordered eating. So I actually was anorexic for a couple years. I never got into like bulimia where you like binge and purge, but I just didn't eat. So I felt that that would help me control things I didn't like about myself and about life at that time. And it did not, of course not. But it led down the road to learning more about nutrition, and it did lead me to where I am today. But it was only by correcting and getting rid of that behavior that it led to anything positive. So if you're having, you know, a lot of stress, a lot of emotions, a lot of anger, internal anger, and just all these feelings, you know, eating food does not fix any of that. All it does is maybe a temporary control, but it is not an actual solution. Okay? So listen to podcast 510, and that'll let you know more about our histories with disordered eating, and maybe you can find some information in there that would help you understand more about disordered eating for yourself. And then also we have a podcast about self-care. So the fast food of self-care is what it's titled, podcast number 420. And that talks about if you are dealing with kind of emotional issues, why, or I guess like how you can better control it rather than using food as your means of control. So food does not fix emotional problems. Food is fuel for the body, but it doesn't fuel your soul. So make sure that if you're having emotional and mental issues that you do not turn to food as a way to fix it and address it. Okay? That can lead to a lot of disordered eating. That can lead to a lot of bad habits. That can lead to a lot of unhealthiness that'll be very difficult to change and correct later in life. So check that out, podcast 420, The Fast Food of Self-Care, to learn better how to manage your emotions and stress other than using food, okay? So these are five things I wish people knew because I do think it would help people live healthier lives in regards to what nutrition can contribute to that. So number one was types of foods aren't as important as you think. Number two is digestion rates of foods would be very helpful for understanding how to maintain and kind of monitor your daily mood and energy and how you feel throughout the day. Number three is the cleaner you eat, the more you can eat. So you can actually eat a shit ton of food when you're trying to lose weight if you eat very clean foods. Number four is eating something is always better than eating nothing. And number five is eating food does not solve emotional problems. Okay, if anybody has any questions about any of this, if anybody wants kind of like suggestions for future podcasts, or if you want to find out more things that I wish people knew, just let me know. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I absolutely love and appreciate getting feedback because it's very motivational. So thank you to those who email us. And also thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who help support the podcast financially. So the podcast is not free. It does cost me several hundreds of dollars a year. I enjoyed doing it, and I set it out to do it regardless of whether I'd make any money, just as a way to give back to the community and give back to God for what he's given me to me for me in my life. So I want to share that into other people's lives. And I do appreciate the patrons because they've helped us, you know, pay for a new microphone. They've helped us stay online, you know, for a whole like 500 some episodes. So thank you very, very much to the patrons. And thank you to those who listen. And thank you to those who email in. So any form of participation is greatly appreciated. And I thank you very much. So hopefully this stuff is helpful. If there's ever anything anybody wants to know, just email us. So the podcast is intended to be for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. So if there is anything that you ever want to know, just let us know, and then we'll let you know. So email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Cool. K, Okay, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you do like this type of information, you can find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Cool. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.